Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 187, the first two stanzas. Thy loving kindness, Lord, is good and free. In tender mercy turn thou unto me. Hide not thy face from me in my distress. In mercy hear my prayer, and thy servant bless. 1 and 2 of Psalter 187. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Acts of the Apostles, the third chapter, the first 10 verses. Acts 3, verses 1 through 10. But first we will read the Holy Law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Acts 3. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the Beautiful gate of the temple, And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And so far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning the family of Mr. Martin Outshorn, who passed away in this past week. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, Thou sparest our life, giving us to enter this morning into Thy house of prayer. And we have heard how that for another it has become different. In the week that lies behind us, well known unto many, in our midst, but also a dear father and grandfather, husband and brother, Lord, that Thou may look upon all those that mourn. For we cannot miss our flesh, but Thou sayest that we must die because our sin that rises up against us. Lord, that Thou may bless this calling in the midst of this family, and wilt Thou supply in the days that are before them, and that they may receive from Thee and what is necessary to go forward, and that they may also receive from Thee that which their own souls cannot miss. As we travel together to that great eternity, and when we appear before Thee, then it will be either as a sheep or as a goat. Do teach unto us the reality of our life. And while we are still in a day of grace, and may it be even when we may be so very young. For the old must die and the young can die. And it is so often in the days of the youth that Thou dost begin with Thy people. Oh, that Thou may look upon young and old in our midst, and that we, as we may come up Sabbath after Sabbath day, may not remain our whole life without the substance. For Thou sayest Thou will cause Thy people to inherit substance, and they may experience what that substance is over against all the vanity of this life, that Thou may give us to feel something of it in this morning hour, when we may leave behind in this morning our homes and our businesses and all that is of the flesh, and when we may come together into the house of the Lord. And then one day we shall leave it all behind for the last time. And then we shall come also into Thy presence, there to be judged and to be given our final place. Lord, Thou knowest our hearts and all that lies therein. By nature, there is not a single desire. There is not a sigh. There is not a cry after the true and the living God. And we may acknowledge Thee for our fathers and for our mothers. that they have brought us by thy providence, when we were also young, into thy house of prayer, where we may hear thy everlasting word. There we may be brought up under those blessed means which thou usest to convert all thy people. Wilt thou so use those means in the days in which we are still living with our children, in the last days of this world wherein we hear that thy footsteps may be heard, as we may hear in the week that is gone by, the many disasters that are still coming upon us in this world and seem to be increasing in their number. But man, he goes on in his iniquity, and he has deaf ears and blind eyes, so that he hears not and he sees not, and he has an hard heart, and he will not have thee to reign over him. And so are we all of ourselves. Oh, the power of that Spirit that thou didst send in Pentecost, that is so necessary still in the days in which we live with our children. Oh, could it please thee then to come in this day also, when we may be gathered in thy house of prayer, when the fire and the earthquake and the storm, they cannot touch our hearts for the hardness and for the coldness and for the deadness, but that a still small voice of thy Holy Spirit, all that is able in one moment to break the hard and stony heart, whether we are young or whether we are old, then it is powerful to the breaking down of strongholds. Thou didst speak even unto that young life, when thou didst call him Samuel, Samuel. Oh, he knew not yet thy voice. He thought it to be the voice of a man, and it was the voice of God. Oh, that thou mayst so speak, Lord, in this morning hour, that it may not be just the voice of a man, but wilt thou show unto us that it is the voice of God, and that that voice may penetrate into the inmost recesses of our hearts. Then we shall go out from this place different than we came in. And then it shall be to all eternity that we shall magnify thee for thy mercy and for thy grace to the ungodly and to those that have rebelled and had no desire to return. Remember thy children, for they are still here and there over the face of this world. And there are among them the sheep and the lambs. There are the children, there are the young men, and there are the fathers in grace. And we do not know what the state and condition is, but thou knowest. And we are not for our own account, as we stand here before this flock and thy people, but it is thee who hast called us and sent us. Oh, we beseech thee then, that thou may look upon them wherever that they may be, and that thou may strip us of all that is of our own, and that thou may place a little word in our mouth for the leading of thy dear people, when they are as outcasts in this world, and when they must suffer that same persecution that thou didst suffer by the hands of that same great enemy, a triple-headed enemy, without and within, that thou may so remember thy people that they may experience it to be good to be in the house of the Lord, and that a little upon the journey that they still must go through in this world, they may receive a little token out of heaven. Remember all the afflicted and those that are sick and not able to be with us in this day. Be with all widows, widowers, and orphans, all that have become old, Lord, that thou may supply in the great age that thou hast given some even in our midst to attain, that thou may remember them in the climbing of their years, and that thou may supply for the last days in this life. And wilt thou give to them that which they need to go out of this world? Do look upon all that must bring thy word, that it may be made for them an easy task in this day, and every day that they must bring it, that it could be that they may bring it, and that thou may stand on the right and on the left hand, and that thou may look upon us too. For thou knowest all our mind, our body, and our soul. Lord, then if it had to come from man, then we would all rather go home. But wilt thou show to us this day that thou still lookest upon us, and that thou still workest, and may it be even in our midst, and that thou hast sent us for a purpose, and that thy kingdom may come, and that thy church may be edified. Give us simplicity, give us love, give us a burning in our heart for the welfare of our fellow man, and be thou in the midst as one that serveth. We ask it in the forgiveness of all of our many sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 415, stanzas 8 and 10. Turn thou unto me in mercy. Have compassion on my soul. I am sore distressed and lonely. Waves of trouble o'er me roll. And what follows in 8 and 10 of 415 in the last collection today is for the building fund. congregation, Isaiah prophesied, I am a sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me, behold me, unto a nation that was not called by my name. That is the way in which the Lord deals with his church. And that is necessary. Why so necessary? Because there is none that seeketh after God. Or is that different with you? No, when we are honest, then we must confess the truth of God's word, that he must be the Alpha, that he must be the beginning, that he must be the first one, or we are lost. So that is, after the Spirit was poured out in that day of Pentecost, when the Lord would bring in the 140 and 4,000 that will be among, we read, the Gentiles. They are, we read, without Christ, being aliens of the commonwealth of Israel and strangers of the covenant of promise, being without hope and without God in this world. But when the times of refreshing would come from the Lord, then it would become with them so different. And that is not only with the multitude of the Gentiles, but it is with each and every one of that true church in particular. And that we wish to consider in this morning out of the words of our text. You can find those words in that portion that we have read to you, Acts 3, sixth verse. Acts 3, verse 6. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. So far, the words of our text. The lame man healed at the gate beautiful. First, his desire. Second, his disappointment. And third, his deliverance. The lame man healed at the gate beautiful. First, his desire. Second, his disappointment. And third, his deliverance. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. How different, congregation, were the characters of the Apostle John and the Apostle Peter. And how different also their conduct. We know that Peter was a man who was very forward. John is a man that will not even mention his own name in his epistles. We know that Peter, for the fear of man, has denied the Lord Jesus. John was a man that has stood with him even unto the end. And yet, what very intimate friends that John and Peter seem to have been. That they were inseparable. How is that possible? It is grace. It is grace that unites these two together. And young people, we would ask you to take very particular notice of this. Because also when you are seeking one that will go with you for the rest of your life, then when you have this foundation, then characters, they can be so very, very different, which you may find out later, but when that grace, when you may be united, so united around the truth of God's holy word, then you have a foundation, then you have a basis which will make you inseparable all your life. The Lord Jesus, he has sent these two together, we read, when they had to prepare for that Last Supper after the fall of Peter. Then we do not read that John rejects Peter. No, we read them that we read of them that they are running together unto the sepulcher of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus speaks about the future of Peter. And Peter is asking the Lord Jesus about the future of John. And that is not only after the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, but now also after his ascension. And then that union that remains. And now after the pouring out of that Holy Spirit of the Lord. And then they are united still together as one. They have one purpose in which they are walking, that they are going together. And here we see them, they are going together into the temple of the Lord. It is the ninth hour, that is 3 o'clock in the afternoon, that is the hour of prayer. That is a stated hour of prayer. But this is now one of those hours of prayer which will be a very, very special hour. It is an hour that is going to be spoken of throughout the community of this Jewish nation. And it is an hour that is still spoken of today. An hour that is preached about by God's servants over a length and breadth of the whole world, even unto the last day of the world. They did not know this. No one realized what this hour was going to be. No, it was only one of those stated hours of prayer. Peter does not know it. John does not know it, and neither does he who received the great blessing have any idea what is going to happen to him in this hour. You say, is that now, or could it be, that it happens also to me? Oh, stay then close to those stated hours of prayer. Oh, then come up with faithfulness under those means of grace and use them also in your own places. It is just at that time that Peter and John, they are entering into the temple, and that this man, he is asking of them an alms. And a certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask an alms of them that entered into the temple. What a picture. What a very, very great contrast. We have a lame beggar, and he is sitting, we read, at the gate Beautiful. There were a number of gates. They were overlaid with gold, very beautiful and a very precious metal. This gate, Beautiful, was overlaid with what was called Corinthian brass. That was a brass that was said to shine brighter than gold itself. Thus it was at the very entrance of that house of the Lord, wherein were all manner of precious stones and minerals, pearls, that speak something about the glory of that place. That is a little representation of what the Apostle John may later see when he saw that New Jerusalem descending out of heaven. And thus, that house of the Lord that was made into a very beautiful place as just a small view of that which will be seen by that church to all eternity. Therefore, it is called the gate Beautiful or blooming is actually a word that is used concerning the beauty of the crown of God's creation. It is a word which is often used of the beauty of the body of a man. And what do we see here? Lying just at this gate Beautiful, we see a lame beggar. We say that is now the opposite of everything that is beautiful. It is the opposite of everything that is blooming. There is only a defect. There is only misery in the body of this man. And because of that defect of the body, that man, he is reduced to beggary also in society. Thus, we see what sin has brought into this world. The Lord has made everything so beautiful, made everything so perfect. And the Lord has made everything for Himself, for His own honor, for His own glory, and we have ruined everything. We have ruined even the very creation itself, bringing for ourselves and in this world a great misery, suffering, agony. But at the same time, the Lord Himself remains who He is. At the same time, the Lord Himself remains glorious. Congregation, do we ever feel something of this? Also, when we come a Sabbath by Sabbath into the house of the Lord, that we say we come into that holy house of God, the house that God promises to be in with His presence, with the glory of His Holy Spirit, then what a contrast when I come myself into that house and when I bring with me that evil heart, that wretched heart, all the sin and all the iniquity which I cannot leave behind me, but that goes with me day by day even into those most solemn and those most holy and sanctified places that are in this world. A certain lame man from his mother's womb. Lame, impotent, cannot walk, cannot work, cannot earn a living, and therefore reduced to beggary. Where does he lay? He lays outside of the gate of this temple, where the people are entering. And why? Because this is the place of charity. And then he is hoping that he may receive something that comes out of the heart of the people. Are there those also that may, in their wretchedness and on all the misery that they have to experience in this world, that they may expect something and receive something out of our hand also in the place of charity? When the Lord showers upon us all the blessings that are in this world, he that giveth to the poor, we read, lendeth unto the Lord. For what is this man looking? He is looking for an alms, who seeth, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. He asks, children, he asks for a little bit of money. He asks for a little present help. He asks for a little help that he may go through this world. That is his only expectation. He is not looking for anything else. Where does he lie? He lies at the gate of the temple. He lies so very, very close unto that temple, at the very gate of that temple, at the very entrance of the temple, and yet he remains on the outside of that temple. On the outside of that temple, burdened with all the worldly cares and concerns of this life. Is that also our picture, congregation? You say no, because I am not lame and I am not a beggar and I sit in the house of the Lord. No, that is not what we mean. But we will have you to consider for a moment the spiritual picture that we may see in this man and what that we have become in our own deep fall. Is this not a picture of our misery? Dead in our sins and in trespasses, and a great contrast to the glory of God, and a great contrast to that glory that God has also created us in paradise. So that we have now become lame to live to his purpose, to live to his honor, to live to his glory. And so that now there is also a helplessness in you and in I to deliver ourselves from that lame condition. And so close do we lie to that temple. It is a great mercy. A great mercy when we have had parents that may bring us up Sabbath by Sabbath day under his word, that may instruct us in all his truth. And yet we lie outside of that blessed communion. Children, your father and your mother, do you ever feel it? Your father and your mother, and they are able to bring you to this place. They are able to teach you to fold your hands and to close your eyes and to bend your knees and to beg the Lord. All this they are able to do. But what can they not do? Oh, they cannot give you what they need, what you need. They cannot bring it in your heart. They cannot give unto you that new heart. Oh, then we are lying so close, as it were, to coming within that temple of the Lord, and yet that we remain for ourselves helpless to bring ourselves inside. But it is not actually even our desire. No, to remain just in the church as we are, that is for us enough. To remain under the outward administration, that is sufficient. What are we looking for? We are looking for all the things of this life. We are calling our own lands by our name. Those are the things that are important to us. Sure, we pray for that which is spiritual. But it is not the real concern of our heart. Our first concern, that is how that we shall come through this life. No, there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. And Peter and John, they come also to the temple, and they are the servants of the Most High God. And what does this man ask for? He asks for an alms. He asks for that which is temporal. Oh, what a wretched and what a very sad condition is man in by nature. Everything focused on this present life, in all our needs, in all our cares. It was not always so. No, in creation it was not so. There we did our labors day by day, but our heart that was going out after the true and the living God. But we have brought ourselves so low by our sin. We have brought thorns and thistles into this world, so that we have to beg for all of our needs, and our whole life that is consumed with how we shall get through this world. And if we are never delivered from this, that awful state and condition, it will never change. So it will be even to the end of our life. But that brings us to our second thought. He has a great disappointment. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Peter and John, they fasten, we read, their eyes upon him. That is, by the instigation of that Holy Spirit of the Lord. It is actually the eye of the Lord who is fastened on this man. And that eye of the Lord that has been fastened on this man already from that never begun eternity, when we see him as a picture of the true church. But there comes a moment, there comes a moment in the time that the Lord is directing the instruments of his hand to those upon whom his eyes are from eternity. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John. And that is now the time that the Lord is also directing the eye of that people to look upon the means that he is going to use for their deliverance. Because it is not only the apostles whose eyes are fastened on him, but then he is directed by them. We read, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them. That is now a blessed moment. It is the blessed moment that the Lord is directing the eyes of a lost sinner unto those means of his hand. It is that blessed moment that he arrests a man. It is that blessed moment that he stops a man. It is that blessed moment that he brings a man to attention. It is an holy moment. Has that moment ever arrived in our life? That is a moment that is known by God in the stillness of eternity. That is a moment that is experienced by that people in the time. It is a moment of the greatest change that is coming in the life of a man. Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. How does the Lord find his elect in this world? Does he find them seeking after him? Does he find them hungering after him? Does he find them thirsting after him? No. He finds them carnal. He finds them vain. He finds them worldly. He finds them lying in their misery. He finds them in need of a great, great change. Yes, maybe they are asking an alms. Maybe they come to God's house. Maybe they have need of the Lord for all the good of this life, for all of their temporal things. Maybe that prayer day for all the blessings of the field, that is now the most important day in the life of their people. But they ask for no more. That heart of man is so deceitful that he is living by the gate of the Lord, but he has a purpose and a desire to receive temporal things. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none." That is a disappointment to that man. We can understand that. What is now the first work of the Holy Spirit of the Lord? The first work is to break down all that is worldly, all that is carnal. The first work is to disappoint all our carnal hopes, all our carnal expectations. The first work is to cut a man off from these expectations. Has the Lord ever cut them off for you? Silver and gold have I none. That is, to the turning away of the natural man. Even when he is full of religion, then the natural man, the rich young ruler, "Leave my silver and gold." Then he went away sorrowful. Silver and gold have I none. Or if the Lord had not looked upon a man, if the Lord does not stop a man, then when the Lord says by his servant, "Silver and gold have I none," then man goes away. Then we are like Demas, who loved this present world, and therefore he forsakes. Silver and gold have I none. When the Lord stops a man, then he gives them to look upon another treasure. But first, he must cut off that first treasure. Has the Lord now ever cut you off from that first treasure? Has your silver and your gold ever perished with the using? Has your silver and your gold ever become without value? Have you ever seen and felt how that you are leaving all your silver and your gold behind? Did your silver and your gold ever become vexation of spirit to your soul? Did your silver and gold ever become to you just a temptation and a snare for your soul? You cleave to the truth, but are you willing even to continue when you will have to go through this world in poverty and in shame, in tribulation and persecution? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. Why does the Lord disappoint a man of all his former hopes? That is not to leave a man in his wretched and miserable condition and expectation, but it is to direct him to a different blessing. There is a blessing, he says, that is of far greater value, but by nature we do not think of that blessing. No, we wallow in the mire of our miserable state and condition, seeking the silver and the gold of this world. We desire nothing different. We look for nothing different. We seek for nothing different. We ask for nothing different. We expect nothing different because we know of nothing different. Dead. In the days of Peter and John, lame was lame, especially when you were lame from your birth. Then there was nothing that could be done for such a man. Such a man remained so until the day that he died. Then he must learn to live with it. This man never looked that it would be different. He did not ask that it would be different. But such as I have, give I thee. What does the Lord do in the life of this lame beggar? Oh, he directs him. He hears of something else. First, cut off from former expectations. And then the Lord directs him to a different gift. The Lord directs him to a different treasure. He says, men, there is something else to be received. There is something else to be received that is beside the silver, that is beside the gold. What do you think, children? Do you think that men, when Peter says, such as I have, give I thee, do you think that that man has immediately thought about new legs? Oh, I don't think so. That he could walk as his fellow man? That is to him so high. So high. That is something that to him that belongs to all other persons, but it can never belong to me. Oh, what does the Lord do in the life of his children? Then he is directing them to another treasure. He says there is something else to be received besides the silver and the gold in this world. But that treasure is something that they hardly think
is possible to be received by themselves. No, that is a treasure for other persons. That is now a treasure that belongs to the true people of the Lord. And as it is out of the question for that man to think of receiving such new legs, so it is often in the life of that people that it is just out of the question, how is it now? No, I will not even dare to think that a person such as I could receive such a high blessing. Is that also what lives in your heart? Is a congregation out of the question? That you hardly dare. Oh, you come up, yes. You fold your hands, yes. And you bow your knees beside your bed. But, oh, you can hardly think and hardly dare to think that that great blessing could be for you. Here is now a man who receives what he never expected. Here is now a man who receives what he never asked for. All the blessings of the Lord, they are far above the expectations of such a lame beggar. Let us sing first. 198, 2, 4, and 7. Then over mountainside and plain shall peace spring forth from righteousness. The poor man's cause will he maintain and save the weak that none oppress. 2, 4, and 7 of 198.
Our last thought, his deliverance. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. Does the Lord, congregation, command of men things that they are not able to perform? Yes, he does. Rise up and walk. The Lord commands those things in his law and in the gospel. The man is not able to perform perfect obedience and faith. If there was ever a man who knew that he could not rise up and walk, it was this man. He was above 40 years old, and he was lame from his birth. Thus, the command of the Lord does not presuppose our ability. The command of the Lord does not tell us what we are capable of doing. We cannot say that we are capable of obedience and capable of faith, because otherwise the Lord would not command it of us. That is against the word of the Lord. 40 years. This man has to experience his helplessness in his misery. 40 years. To whom do you think he is now going to ascribe the deliverance? When the Lord delivers his people, they will know in whom they have believed. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he, leaping up, stood and walked. The greatest blessings, they are received by men through this name of Jesus of Nazareth. A condemned man recently by the Jews. A despised Nazarene. But the greatest blessings a man can receive in this world, they are coming to him through this name. Oh, may we ever experience something now of those blessings. It is by this simple declaration of the name of Jesus of Nazareth, received by faith, that those blessings may be received. And when the Lord, he is declaring that name, oh, then the Lord shows himself to be such a surprising God, that he is coming so unexpectedly from their own side. And then that power that is in that name, that is experienced in a moment's time, so that in one moment, the people, they may be lifted out of that miry pit, and they may be set upon that solid rock. Oh, that healing. That healing of that man that is so full and so complete in one moment. Then he has never stood on his feet. He has never taken one step in his life. And immediately we read that this man, he now leaps and he walks. Oh, that is now the experience of that people. What does Isaiah say? He says, then shall the lame man leap as in heart. No, it is not in half work, but it is a complete work of the Lord. And when that name of the Lord Jesus is being declared in the life of the people, then they are receiving everything out of that hand of the Lord. Then they see so much fullness. Oh, do they not say, you say, do they not see through a glass? Do they not see darkly? Do they not see but in part and know but in part? Oh, certainly they do. But that little part, oh, that little part that they may be, that they may see, when he may look upon them through the lattice only, that they may see only a little bit, then in that little bit there is so much fullness. Then that water that is in them, that is as a fountain of waters, that is bringing up unto life eternal. All then that remnant we read in God's word, that remnant, they in that moment they possess all things. Ask that people to speak in that moment, and you will hear them probably speak things much more and much further than they really know. Why? Because there is so much fullness to be seen in that name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a power. What a power may be experienced in the life of this man. May you ever know, congregation, something of this power. The power by the declaration of that name of Jesus of Nazareth in all your wretchedness, in all your misery. All through that name we read, the blind they receive their sight, the lame they walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf they hear, the dead are raised up, the poor, they have the gospel preached unto them. That is that name that is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. All through that name, the guilty are forgiven. Through that name, the filthy are cleansed. Through that name, the captives are delivered. Through that name, the outcast, they are again restored into the blessed communion with the Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And where then do we see this man go? Oh, that he goes not into the world so that he can serve the world. But what do we read? And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. He goes with them into the temple. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that he may enter into the temple. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that he may enter into the house of God. Or it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that he may enter into the communion with the Lord. Here is now the way back. All that way back into his communion, that is through this mediator, and that he may enter into his house, they may come into his presence, and that he may begin to leap and to praise and to magnify the name of the Lord. Oh, we have separated ourselves. We can lie at the door. We can lie at the door, and we can come up, but we cannot enter in. But how is it? Oh, it is by faith in that name that way that is made back again, that a man receives his legs again after that he has become lame in paradise and he is looking all to the things of this world only to see how he can come through this world. Oh, it is by the name of that Jesus Christ of Nazareth that a man receives that life in his legs once again, walking. and leaping and praising God. Oh, is that name then not precious unto that people? Will he not then give all the honor and all the glory unto that one name? Or is he then not altogether lovely? Is he not then the chiefest among 10,000 for this man walking and leaping and praising God? That is a new life for him. That is a new life for him. That is a new life for the people. All to sink away under the goodness of the Lord. To sink away under the mercy of the Lord. David says, therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen. I will praise thy name. And sometimes it is so. Sometimes it is so when they are sitting in the bench. And when they are listening. And when you cannot see anything but in their heart. Oh, then they are leaping and they are praising God. And sometimes that is so. That heart is grieving. The heart grieving. Why? Because all that desire to praise his name and that hindrance of their flesh, that they are not able to praise that name as they desire to praise it. And they think it is better to die. Oh, better to die and leave that old man. Oh, let him be dumped in that grave, that new man may receive his liberty to magnify and to glorify that blessed name of the Lord. Congregation, what can you more wish in your life? Is that now not the most blessed portion that can be received in this life? Oh, what of all the silver? What of all the gold? What if it be multiplied 10 times, 100 times, 1,000 times in your life? What of it? Oh, can it give to you what this man may receive? Lame, oh, lame people. Yes, a lame people. A lame people in themselves. But David, he says something also different. He says, by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God I have leaped over a wall. And so the Lord is receiving all the honor and all the glory. Oh, do you not say also with David, happy is that people. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Will you not then ask to supplicate with that psalmist? What does he say? Remember me, O Lord. Remember me. With that favor that thou bearest unto all of thy people, oh, visit me also. Visit me with thy salvation as I lay with this man, oh, asking an alms and seeking all that is here below and having no desire and not seeking and not looking and not expecting, because I know, O Lord, I know of nothing else. O Lord, remember me with that favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. Amen. Oh, Lord, we sit. Oh, we sit but at the entrance. And we can come no further. Oh, that thine eye, that it may be fastened upon us as an individual, as a father, as a mother, as a child, as a grandfather, oh, as an old one, as a young one, as a little child. That thou may fasten also thine eye, O Lord, upon us and upon our children, and that thou may give us also to look upon thee, upon the instruments that thou hast given, and wilt thou speak and wilt thou work with might and power to cut off all that we do seek, and to give us to hope and to look and to expect a blessing that is far above all that is in this world. Lord, look on us. To whom else can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Forgive all our iniquities and bring us safely to our homes and with desire to gather again in this afternoon hour. We ask it in the forgiveness of all that is sinful for Jesus' sake. Amen. 318, 2 through 5 and 7. This is thy temple gate, O Lord. The just shall enter there. My Savior, I will give thee thanks, all thou that hearest prayer. My Savior, I will give thee thanks, all thou and that hearest prayer. 2 through 5 and 7 of 318. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.